Good morning. You can remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. It's especially welcoming to see all of the visitors with us this morning. We hope that you do feel welcome here at Main Street. And if you are a visitor looking for a church home, that you'll consider Main Street as a possibility for that church home. If you would, as we pass the attendance pads down the pew rack, if you'll give us your address and phone number, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So if you would now please pass those pads, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. Jessica asked me to remind you that if you have ordered a wreath from the youth, you may pick those up. If you have not already done so, you may pick those up from the church office immediately following the 11 o'clock service this morning. Next Sunday afternoon, we will have a church-wide caroling. We'll meet in the fellowship hall at 3 o'clock, and we'll go caroling around the neighborhood, and we'll end with an evening with a restaurant pizza supper. So all are welcome to join in that next Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. We're also reminded of our Christmas Eve communion candlelight service on Wednesday, December the 24th at 6:30. You can come dressed casually, but please plan to be there for that on Christmas Eve. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand for the call to worship as printed in your bulletin. God is in our midst. Do not fear. God rejoices to renew our lives in steadfast love. God gathers us for this. in God, who is our strength and life. Give thanks to God, the source of our salvation. We will sing praises and exalt God's name. With joyous shouts, we will tell of God's glorious deeds. Rejoice in God, whatever your circumstances. Remember the good fortune God has shared with you. We will not worry as we seek God's peace. We open our hearts and minds to God's leading.
Seated. And I invite you to join in our invocation as found in the bulletin. Come into this gathering today, Lord, binding up our brokenness, freeing us from our shackles, releasing us from our blindness, and replacing our sadness with joy. Take off our garments of despair, Lord, and dress us with party clothes of praise. Come to us, Lord Jesus. Adorn us with hope. Adorn us with gladness. Adorn us with praise. Amen.
In this Advent season, we wait and hope. We remember our longing for God to be with us and to give us peace. Today we light a third candle, a candle for joy.
This candle reminds us that God wants us to rejoice, even when that feels hard to do. This candle is a symbol of the joy that comes when God is with us. Please join us in this prayer. O God, come travel with us through Advent. Give us courage to spread joy in the world. Amen.
Good morning. I'm back. You know, over the last few weeks, we've learned some things about stewardship. We learned that our money is really not our own. You know, we get it in our hands or in our bank account, and we really think it's our money, but we learned that it's not. We're just stewards of that money. We also learned that we need to talk to Jesus about how much we should give to the church. We learned about all the things our church has to offer. You know, this is a very strong church, and I think everybody here would agree to that with all the programs that we have to offer. And there are a lot more that we would like to offer, but will it happen? Will we do our part today and pledge Sunday to keep our church strong and make it grow? Now, what are we going to do? I hope you brought your card back today. You'll have an opportunity to bring it up later and offer what you think you can give for the year 2009. Let's don't let our church down. Let's not let God down. Reach deep and make a good commitment. And if you do very well, you won't see me up here again.
As I am sharing some of our congregational concerns, I invite you to come forward to kneel at the altar rail during our prayer time if you wish to do that for your time of personal prayer. Our concerns, I'd like to lift up Ruth Strock, who was in the hospital this past week, Zella Moore, who will have surgery tomorrow, Camille Holroyd, recovering at home, Billy Tunstall and his continuing treatments, Miriam Aylwine. Our head usher, Bill Tunstall, is also out sick today. And we offer Christian sympathy to Jason and Alice Ballantyne upon the death of Jason's grandmother this past week, Frank and Caroline Hawthorne upon the death of Frank's brother, Andrew C. Hawthorne, December 6th, and Rupel and Billy Harley Sr. upon the death of Billy's brother, John Davis, also December the 6th. With our personal prayer concerns, I would like to add to that list also Diana Helfrich, recovering from surgery at home. With our personal concerns, our prayers of confession, and our prayers of thanksgiving, let us go up together to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we long for the kind of trust and faith that Mary had as we focus upon her in the worship service today. We long for the trust that Abraham had to offer all that we have to you. Let it be, Lord, that your will be made real in our lives. If you need us to travel to dark and dangerous places, we trust you will go with us. If you need us to give up the easy path for difficulties, we know that you will give us strength. If you need us to speak up and go against the crowd, we choose your side over popular opinion. Lord, give us the trust and faith that Mary had in your promises. Give us ways to serve and a willing spirit to live our life of faith before others. Give us humility and hope in your future, which we have glimpsed and trust to completely come. And for the Christmas gifts of hope and of peace and of compassion and grace, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, we pray now for those who are grieving in this festive time. We pray for the leaders of the nations of the world that they be open to the influence of your Spirit. And we pray for ourselves with the needs that you know well, the needs we lift before you, and our silent prayers. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts.
dear God. The earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon this tithe, this return unto your church, blessed to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
Question. Who is ready for Christmas? Don't be bashful. It is easy, isn't it? Well, when we look at our manger scene, our nativity, everything up there is important, right? Everybody, all the animals, they all played a part. And we think of Jesus being the most important part of that. Yes. But do you know that if Mary had not agreed to do what God asked her to do, it would be completely different? I don't know what it would be. And thank goodness we don't know, because you know what? Mary had faith. Gabriel, the angel, came to her. And it was scary. She was frightened. I mean, that's kind of a scary thought if you think of an angel coming to you. And he said, God wants you, Mary, out of everybody in the whole world, God wants you to carry his son Jesus and to have our Savior. Wow. Now, I know we've all been asked to do things we really didn't want to do, but Mary, even though she was scared, said, I'll do it. I will. She knew how important it was, even though she was scared. And now she was scared. That's a big responsibility. She was going to have the Savior of the world. And because she believed and had faith, we have our nativity. And, I mean, wow, what a responsibility. And not only did she say, yes, I'll do it, she sang praises to God, saying, thank you for choosing me. Wow, what kind of faith is that? That is awesome. That's the kind of faith that we need to have in God. If he tugs on your heart and asks you to do something special, maybe he wants you to sing. Maybe he wants you to play a sport. Maybe he wants you to excel in a musical instrument. That's God's way of saying, I've got a great plan for you if you just say yes. So if God tugs at your heart about something, tell him yes, because he's got something important for you. Let's thank God today, okay? Let's say prayer. Dear God, oh, thank you for Mary. And thank you for what she did for all of us. Help us to say yes to you when you give us a gift. We love you. Amen.
I know that we have a few guests today. We also have a few people home for the holiday. So let's pass the peace and take a little extra time to share the love of God and to greet one another in Christ. Let us pass the peace. Joyce, give them just a few. gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, beginning with the first chapter, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" But the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. And Mary said, verse 46, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Sometimes between the first service and the second, I do neglect to bring names into our concern list, and I did neglect to bring the name of M.K. Goldman, that's Jenna Britt's sister, who was killed in the tragic accident this past week. And let us also pray not only for that family, but for Austin, who was driving the car in that tragic accident. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be pleasing unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to ask our sound man to turn on this mic. I think it will work better today.
Had a little trouble with my voice. Turn on this mic. The lavalier.
This one. There we go. All right. I'm just pointing at it. I don't know. I can't see you. Maybe you can't see me. At Christmas time, people do get focused on the wrong thing. And I don't mean just the commercialization and the parties and the presents and the tinsel and the lights. I mean they get focused sometimes on the wrong part of the story, and they miss the heart of the story. A fellow pastor was just out of sight and watching two little boys as they watched some men of the church building a stage for a live nativity scene. And he overheard the two children talking, and one was asking the other, said, "What are they building? What are they doing here?" And the second child said, "Oh, don't you know? They're building a live fertility scene." Now, I do want to talk about Mary today, and I take her fertility for granted, and some people don't. This actually happened when I was in seminary in Durham, North Carolina. A church in downtown Durham had on loan from a museum a life-size statue of Mary, great with child. And they put it in the narthex, and many people in the congregation complained. They were offended to see a representation of Mary, great with child, and so it was removed. But of course, she was great with child, and she gave birth in the ordinary way, but to an extraordinary child. A child. It reminds me of another conversation between a little boy and a Sunday school teacher. And the teacher knew that his mother was expecting right around the holiday time and said, "Aren't you excited, Johnny, that you're getting a little sister for Christmas?" He said, "Yeah, I guess. But there are a lot of things we needed more." The world was a dark place when Mary was given the news that she was to have a child who would be the Savior. The world is a dark place now. How can a baby help? How can a baby help? I'm reminded of the words of Carl Sandburg, the poet who knew how babies could help. He wrote that a baby is God's opinion that life should go on. But babies quickly learn in this world that the world is full of fearful things. Children know this and they openly acknowledge it. We adults know it, but we've mastered the art of bluffing and repressing it. With all due respect to President Franklin D. Roosevelt, he was wrong. There are some things to fear besides fear itself. There is fear all through the Christmas story, the nativity narratives in Matthew and Luke. In Matthew, the angel comes to Joseph and says, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." And the angel was not wasting his angelic breath. He said that to Joseph because Joseph was afraid to be humiliated, to take Mary as his wife after she was obviously expecting, but not by him. In Luke, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, is the first to be told, "Fear not," by the angel Gabriel. And then Mary, by the same messenger, is told to fear not. And finally, the shepherds on the hillside are told to fear not. And when the baby came, there was confusion. No one was ready. No one was prepared. The nation who was told to expect a Messiah was not ready. And Herod, who tried to prevent it, was not ready. And the parents weren't officially married on time. And the room was not ready for them at the inn. And they were far from home. But the angels kept telling everyone involved, "Fear not, calm down, chill." Well, they didn't say chill, but that's what they meant. "Fear not," says the angel. Not because darkness is fading, not because the bad guys are falling, not because danger is disappearing, not because hard times are receding, but fear not because someone is coming. God is coming to be here with you in the darkness, with the bad guys, in the danger, in the hard times. You are not alone. Fear not. God is with you. Yes, at first Mary was fearful and asked, "How can this be?" And Joseph was fearful, unwilling to be potentially humiliated in public and thinking of divorce. The first Christmas was not stress-free. And none of them since then have been stress-free. Some of you have heard and you've seen on email, it's been passed around for 15 years, the stress test that was invented by psychologist Thomas Holmes. They developed a scale you measure your stress in your life. Job loss is 35 points. Getting married is 50 points. Moving to a new city, 25 points. And he surmised that just living through the Christmas season was 14 stress points. You add it all up, if you get more than 200 points, you're entitled to a nervous breakdown. Bridget Coons took Holmes' scale and applied it to Mary at the first Christmas. And she calculated that any pregnancy is worth 40 points. An unplanned pregnancy adds 20 more. How many stress points do you get for having to tell your parents that you are expecting and not quite wed? Mary moved in with Elizabeth for 3 months. That's 25 points on the home scale. And Mary and Joseph, another 50. The family argument that Kuhn says must have happened when Joseph failed to make reservations in Bethlehem, another 35. Giving birth, 39 points. Coons adds it up, and changing of sleeping and eating habits, traveling on a donkey, 31. Anyway, the whole thing for Mary is calculated that her stress status would be 424 points. Mary went from fear to faith, from confusion to trust. It has been said, it's common wisdom in most every Protestant congregation, that the Roman Catholics make too much of Mary. Well, I'm here to say we don't make enough. After all of this, Mary had a trust which I think rivals the trust Abraham had when he laid Isaac upon the altar. Mary, with complete trust, said, "Let it be to me as you have said. Let it be." Without complete understanding, she trusted God and accepted her role. She burst forth later with a song of praise that we have just heard. It's called the Magnificat. Perhaps recalling what she had heard from the Old Testament, perhaps inspired by the Holy Spirit or both, she sang a song of justice, of upheaval, of reversal, of change that would come and is still coming because of her child. And that is true. The change is still coming and justice is still coming. But what we need more than justice is grace. All of us are somebody's victim and somebody's victimizer. We dare not pray just for justice, presuming we're always on the good side. We must also pray for grace, for we all need it. The promise of the change the child would bring, Mary believed in. The promise that Mary sang forth is a promise that we, professing Christians today, keep through our work in this church and through the larger church. And again, times are dark. People need hope. The hope of Christ. The hope for justice and the hope for grace. I'm reminded of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's poem, Christmas Bells. It is a poem filled with irony, but still hope. Despair, but it ends in hope. He wrote this in 1863. It reflects the horrors of the Civil War. Reflects the darkness of the world at that time, and yet it ends with hope. He wrote, "Then from each black accursed mouth the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound the carols drowned. Of peace on earth, goodwill to men, and in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." Certainly the Christ child brought forth tremendous change in Mary's life and hope beyond the present mess that she was in. Hope in a child. But the promise that she sang forth was to the entire future of the world. And that is a promise which we, by the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit, are to keep. We continue Jesus' ministry. Mary's relationship with God was one of trust. Our relationship with God is one of trust, or should be. And God has entrusted into our hands the continuing ministry of His Son. All human relationships depend upon the making and keeping of promises between husband and wife. Promises must be kept if there is to be a relationship between children and parents, between business associates and clients, or simply between good friends. Promises and goodwill toward others are what define relationships, all relationships. The angels told Mary, "Fear not. This thing that is happening to you is going to be good news for all people. A new relationship is being offered. And even though it may not seem so now, it is good news. And even though it may not have seemed so as she saw Jesus nailed to a cross, it was meant to be and promised to be good news. This child became the man who died praying, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And we still don't." John Donne, English poet and clergyman, wrote this, "The whole life of Christ was a continual passion. Others die martyrs, but Christ was born a martyr. He found a Golgotha even in Bethlehem, where he was born. For to his tenderness then the straws were almost as sharp as thorns after, and the manger as uneasy at first as his cross at last. His birth and death were but one continual act, and His Christmas Day and His Good Friday are but the evening and morning of one and the same day. But this time of year, we have a strange division in our minds. We change gears and we think only about the baby Jesus. We dissociate Him from the man Jesus on the cross, and that's dishonest. It is the same Jesus, conceived in a messy situation, born in an outcast feeding trough, chased by a power-mad dictator into Egypt, Matthew records, cast out, lied about, falsely arrested, executed by church and state. Yes, He brought peace, but peace at the price of truth and honesty. He made us look at ourselves. He made us look at the world and what we have made of it. He still does that when we read the story of the gospel as it is. But we tend to read everything in the Bible with a sort of a holy glow around it and not think of how messy this was. Most scholars believe that Mary was as young as 13, no older than 15 years old. This was a mess. She could have gotten angry, as most of us would have gotten angry to be in such a mess. And the point is that Mary was trusting God in a very messy situation. And that's a message that I could just say amen and let's go home, but I have more time. That's what we need, to trust God in the messy situations we find ourselves in, to trust God in the messy situations that we create. Pregnant. Out of wedlock, facing the wrath of her friends, of Joseph, of her family, of the community. And she responds still to the grimness of her situation with a song of praise. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. She trusted in God in a messy situation. And after the fear not, she said, let it be to me as you say. And after her let it be, she sang her soul out, proclaiming the greatness of the Lord and how her spirit rejoices in what God is doing and will do about the future we live in. As we seek to bring in God's future, God's kingdom, which we have glimpsed by faith, one bit at a time, one person at a time. And this is a poor attempt at illustrating that, but have you ever gotten on a plane to go to a foreign country, a different time zone, and as soon as the plane takes off, before you ever arrive, you look at the map, you look at the information, and you change your watch to the time that it's gonna be when you land there? Have you done that? Well, I've done that. You want to get used to living in that place where you are going, and that is what we, the church, as an outpost of the kingdom of God, that place that Mary sang about, that's what we are to be doing. We are supposed to have our watches, our eyes, our hearts, our minds set on the time and the tune of the kingdom of God. We trust God that He has come to us in Jesus Christ, that He will come again. And in the meantime, we are to live as Mary lived, as Joseph lived, as those who trust in God's promises. You know, Joseph, too, trusted God in this messy situation. He cared for Mary as he traveled and anticipated the birth of her child and a child that he would raise as his own. Now, I'm focusing more on Mary, but one reason that I'm trying to do this and am awkward about it is because men don't have children. Mothers are intimately related to a child months and months and months before they are ever born. And it's interesting, the ministers gathered, some of us were at the district ministers gathering a week before last, and Reverend Danny Wiley's daughter, who is a professional singer, she entertained us, and she was also great with child. And unconsciously, but tenderly, as she sang songs about the baby Jesus, she touched her protruding belly and included her unborn child in each song. See, we husbands sometimes forget that we don't know much about having babies. And one of my favorite Reader's Digest stories, it's a corny preacher story, but I'm telling it, and it's funny. The due date was approaching for the birth of our first child, a lady wrote into Reader's Digest, and my husband was becoming increasingly fidgety. I had slight pains one evening, but I assured him that they were not serious. I was in the den relaxing, and I heard him shaving. And then he began to throw on his clothes. And I asked, what are you doing? And the husband said, well, you can sit here if you want to, but I'm going to the hospital. Fathers can go along for the ride, but they cannot go alone to the hospital for a childbirth. Children change things, and I think they change things for mothers the most. Sometimes they change families, sometimes whole villages, and some children change the whole world. I want to end with a story I just ran across. It's a story from 1962, but I had never heard it before. Don and Carol Richardson were missionaries to Indonesia, to the Sawi tribe. And the Sawi were a warring and cannibalistic people who idolized brutality and treachery. When Don Richardson first told them the story of Jesus' betrayal and crucifixion, the Sawi people cheered for Judas. I think I've had a few of the Sawi tribe in some of my former churches. He was their new hero because he had cunningly and cold-heartedly betrayed Jesus and led to his death. That's the kind of people he was trying to share the faith with. For a long time, the Richardsons were at a loss as how to teach the Sawi folks about God. And they seemed only interested in food and warring with the neighboring tribes. Finally, Don Richardson, who due to his white skin and strange ways, you know, he was considered by them to be a god. They left him alone. Well, he told the people that unless they stopped fighting and made peace, he would leave. And none of the tribes in the area wanted him to leave, so they promised to make peace. Well, the next day, Don and Carol Richardson watched in horror and awe as the Sawi people and the enemy tribe met in the middle. One Sawi man took his only child out of the arms of his screaming wife and gave it to one of the enemy families. And then this family gave their only child to the Sawi family. A Sawi tribesman explained to Don Richardson that these children were peace children given as a sacrificial offering between two warring tribes in order to ensure peace. Now, they were not harmed. In fact, betraying or hurting the peace child was completely taboo. Both tribe factions agreed on this. But if one of the peace children should die, the peace would be broken. And for this reason, both tribes would oversee the care and the development of these very special children. Suddenly, Don Richardson saw his opportunity. He felt like God had prepared these people's heart for the word. Richardson explained to them that Jesus was the ultimate peace child, God's only son sent to create peace among all the people of the world. By the time Don and Carol Richardson left, at least 1,000 Sawi people plus others from neighboring tribes had become sincere Christians. Mary got the big picture. God has come and is coming. Peace has come and is coming. Justice has come and is coming. Trust God for the parts we are fearful about and cannot understand. Trust God for the parts that we are confused about. Have a merry Christmas. Trust in God in the messiness and in spite of the unlikely nature of the promises, and especially when times get dark, trust in the promised goodness of God that seems so far away. As Mary did, as Joseph did, as Jesus lived out, trust in God and have a merry and joyful, peaceful Christmas. Amen. Please stand. Now receive this blessing, this benediction. May you know the full depth of the love of God the Father, who has come to us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem. And may you know the comfort and the peace which passes all human understanding through God the Holy Spirit present with us, the guidance and the courage to live out the faith that is a light in the darkness of this world. You have been blessed by the presence of God. Be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.